Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1888, Michael Henderson.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district for marine services and boat storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Essex County, a parcel containing 6.81 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Route 305, also known as Hollyville Road, across from Route 306, also known as Indian Bay Road. Now, this application was received on January 12th of 2011. The applicant provided, and I've just passed down copies of, a survey of the property, which depicts the location of the dwelling and proposed location of a boat storage area. We did receive comments from DLDOT on November 5th of 2010 in the form of a support facilities report, and that report references that a traffic impact study was not recommended. The current level of service B of Hollyville Road will not change as a result of this application. County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments on April 11, 2011 in the form of a memorandum, and the memorandum references that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that the applicant intends to use an on-site septic system, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. Michael Henderson and 24530 Hollyville Road.
All right, sir, we thank you. You've heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Pretty much we operate a service and marine service business and a retail store. Retail store is located on Long Neck Road. The service business up on the Hollyville Road is just a place where I get my tools, head out on the road. I bring some of the major jobs back. We have very little customer traffic when it's, again, it's a major job that needs to be dropped off. From what I understood, talking with the county planning and zoning, the service wasn't as much the issue. It was the boat storage, which was something we were looking at starting to do for the winter, which is basically over the course of a six-month period from when people had to get the boats out of the water to get them back in. The boats are mostly our pontoon boats and or fiberglass boats that are usually blocked up and shrink-wrapped. Pretty much all I have.
All right, sir. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you.
Okay.
We'll start once again with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What kind of service work do you do on this location?
Outboard service, general outboard service, electrical service on the boats, the electrical systems, anything from electronics to pumps on the boat. Engine service includes tune-ups to power head replacement.
Did I hear you also say you have another location?
Yeah, on Long Neck Road. It's in Leisure Point Retail Center.
And that's where you sell the boats, or is that where you service
them? We don't sell any boats. It's just a retail location for boat parts and accessories.
Oh, okay, so parts and accessories.
Yeah.
But at that location, you do not do any service work?
No, we're not allowed to.
All where you are now?
What's that?
You're doing all the service work?
Yeah, I do it on the road and at the Hollyville location.
Okay. Is this where you live?
Yes.
And is there a building where the repair work is done inside, or?
No, I work outside.
So everything's outside, and
yeah,
and including the testing the engines and.
Yeah, I use a wastewater drum to run the engine in, and then I have a way of filtering it out to make sure we're not dumping any contaminated stuff back out. So.
So what do you do with your pollutants?
I don't have employees. I work on the engines
no,
myself.
No pollutants.
Oh,
oil,
I deal with FCC
gas.
Environmental.
Excuse me?
I deal with FCC Environmental. They take care of the waste oil and the waste supplies.
Okay. But you're not doing any retail sales out of here?
No. It's just strictly a service area. And again, as customers only show up by appointment when they need to drop their boat off for a major service. And then if I'm not, I'm on the road.
And I believe you're pretty close to the first application we heard with Mr. Eggins.
Yep, we were part of the same subdivision, I think, at one point when they, I think we're lot number five.
Do you know if that subdivision has any restrictions on it in terms of running businesses on the location?
No, I never saw any restrictions on that.
So, Mr. Robinson, you'll check on that?
I will, yeah. I plan to do that for the other one, too.
I might add it. Let me see. The difficulty with deed references, just for everybody's references, most time they just say reference to deed restrictions recorded somewhere, they don't tell you where they are. Mr. Henderson's deed just says subject to any and all restrictions, reservations, conditions, easements, and agreements or record in their office of the recorder deeds. I did pull the other application. I have a reference for a number. So I did get the number, and I'll pass that down to Mr. Robinson now. Okay. So he had it when he gets a chance to review the record.
What about security for your the boat storage? Are you planning any type of fencing or?
We were just going to be putting a swing gate across the driveway, and all trailers are locked up. And most of the, for the storage purposes over the season, they're, again, they're on blocks, so it's not something that's easy to just back up to and hook up to.
Okay. What about screening from your neighbors?
I've never, screening.
Screening.
Oh, yeah. Well, between
locking the vision, not looking at all your boats all over the place.
Yeah, it's in the, as you're looking at the lot plan, there's a clearing out in the front field, and pretty much it's surrounded by trees. It's from the road to that field is wooded. Behind, everything is wooded. And the driveway, it's wooded before you even get to the neighbor. So everything is pretty well wooded in regards to that.
I'm done, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir.
Mr. Burton.
Do you have any idea how many boats you're proposing to store?
Well, pretty much because it's only a small field. Most of the storage, I think, it's going to be based off of this year because that pretty much gave us our maximum was about, I think, like 9 to 12 boats. So we're not even talking a super large number. So it'll be about 9 to 12 that were stored. We don't have much more room for anything like that because we still got to leave room for boats that do show up for for service that get turned around. So we can only store like 9 to 12.
Okay. And when you say locked, you're saying you're just putting a lock on the trailer?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the way we put them in is the boats on blocks tend to be in front of anything. If we're storing a boat that's on a trailer, which is only, there's only, I think, like three that have trailers and the rest are all blocked, those get put behind, and then it's all boats on blocks in front, and then any trailer that is exposed is locked as well.
And how many boats under mechanical repair are you anticipating in this?
That number varies depending on the time of year. You can easily expect 6 to 12 on top of that.
So at any one time, there's going to be 24
worst case scenario, to 30. There could be about 20 to 30 boats on worst case scenario, and then on average. But that's mostly based during the off-season time. When we get back into in-season and everything is running the way it's supposed to, you start getting into like less than 6 during the normal part of the season.
Okay.
And the seasons tend to be, I'm not sure how familiar everybody is with that. Seasons tend to be like mid-October to like mid-April is when off-season storage is really considered.
Thank you.
Sure. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Henderson. I came by this site, I guess, a couple hours ago on the way to the meeting. How many boats was I looking at on the site today?
You were in that 20 to 30 range. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head.
So explain to me what Mr. Burton's question was with how you came up with the 9 to 12 was the max, but I was
looking
at 20 or 30.
For permanent storage is 9 to 12, but I'm giving you the number that has storage and service jobs because mm-hmm. the service jobs, as they come in, I'm working them, but there's still some more to get dropped off than I'm getting out. I can't get out that fast.
Thank you.
So I'm giving you the worst-case scenario where we got a backlog of boats and storage for getting service. That's where the combination came from. Mm-hmm.
And your other location is at the Leisure Point Retail Center mm-hmm. on Long Neck Road.
Correct.
Had you sought out any other already approved location that's close to that Leisure Point or Long Neck area before deciding to do this on your property?
We're still relatively new. We just opened the retail a couple years ago, so we're still too new for banks really to take us super serious in terms of getting us approved.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to.
Would this be some kind of operation that you could utilize an already approved boat storage facility, of which there are quite a few up and down Long Neck Road? And
not without jeopardizing the business. We did look into boat storage at our locations, and for the requirements that they're looking for, it would cost us our customer base. Basically, some of those customers, while it may not seem like a lot, there's a lot of revenue that's generated off of those certain customers because we're able to prep their boat. We tow the boat because it's on blocks, bottom painting and everything else that's associated with that. It's a pretty major revenue for those number of boats. If we go to off-site storage, we take a very good chance of losing those customers because the only places that would offer the storage for boats on blocks are competing dealers, in which case we would lose those customers.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson.
Mr. Ross.
Mr. Henderson, I guess as you get older, you tend to be a little more weather wary. And do you have any thought that you might want to do some of this work indoors at some point?
Yeah. This is kind of a stopgap thing until we can get our revenue builds and our business builds until we can move to an offsite location.
So you wouldn't want to, if you did expand or you wanted to put some indoor place to work, you wouldn't do it on this site, you would go ahead and expand and do it offsite, and then this would just go by the wayside?
Correct.
No further questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Lang.
I looked in the record in the office and it said I didn't know if you made your application because there was a violation notice given to you for operating the business without approval.
They did. It was because of that. I went to the office and talked to them, and they said it wasn't because of – that's where I found out that they said it wasn't because I was operating service off the property. They said it was because once we added storage was when
– it would have been both. Violation. Service is not permitted either.
Okay. I was going from what I was told in the
case. I'm just yeah. Okay. I just wasn't sure.
Well, now I know.
So. I wasn't sure you were given a violation notice. That's what I was asking. That's all.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
None, except for just the request that if you're thinking about acting on it, to leave the record open so I can, this one and the other one actually, get the deed restrictions just to see. Okay. So you don't create more problems for anybody.
A couple of questions, Mr. Chairman,
sure,
that
sure.
I've neglected.
Okay.
How many employees do you have working on the site?
None.
So you're the only repair service person that's working on the site?
That would explain some of the backlog on the boats.
Yeah, especially with the weather.
Yeah.
What about signage?
We were looking to, and this might have been from not getting all the information at the county, we were told that with the conditional use that we'd be able to put a sign back up. I'm not sure if that's something that was supposed to be in the application or not. The sign would be something that's like... I think it's like 2 foot by 3 foot. It wasn't a big sign. It was just mostly advertising our business and saying call for an appointment. So it wasn't like trying to advertise for people just to pull down the driveway.
So like a realtor for sale type sign?
Yeah, it was no bigger than this and only 8 tall. And it was between a couple 4x4 poles would be something that we would be.
So am I hearing 2x3?
Yeah,
am I hearing 2x3.
I think I heard him say 4x4, but
4x4. Okay. That... By that.
Is that two-sided? If you had a sign, it would be two-sided so you could see it from either direction?
Well, it's one sign. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, on both sides.
Yeah,
on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any other questions, anyone? Okay, Mr. Henderson, you take a seat nearby. We'll see if anybody here that has an interest in your application.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1888, Michael Henderson? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1888? Come on up, ma'am. Now's your time.
It's a showstopper.
Turn your phone off.
You could turn your phone off maybe before you come up here. All right. Okay. All right, come on up, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Hi, my name is Victoria Eastburn. I live at 28226 Harmony Cemetery Road, right across the street from where they are.
Okay.
His place is right here at the driveway where the school buses turn around.
Okay.
And I'm two houses up.
Okay.
Well, the ditch that runs behind my house is...
Ma'am, you just face this way, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, just take a deep breath.
The ditch that runs behind my house is 20 feet away from my well water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my husband works at a marine dealer, and he knows all kind of crap that goes through the water that they wash the boats with,
mm-hmm.
and oil and all. He says, and he don't want that to come through, because the ditch that goes from his property to my property, that water run through his wastewater.
Well, I'm not sure that his wastewater is going to find its way there necessarily, but good, I guess.
It is, yeah. Well, my water is only 20 feet, like, from the ditch, yeah. And I don't approve it, but that's okay.
No, you're entitled to your opinion. So then, you're concerned about your well water.
Well water, yeah.
Okay.
And you're concerned about the materials they're using to wash the boats or flush out motors or whatever.
I'll see if I can get some information for you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Henderson. Would you mind coming back up here for a second? I have a question or two for you. Can you speak to the issue of how water is used on the site, what happens to it, and what kind of chemicals and so on that you use?
We use biodegradable soap when washing the boats if needed. We're not a boat detailing operation, so we're just washing out our footprints from a boat or our handprints. As in terms of when running an engine, again, it's in a 100-gallon barrel, and we pump it out into another 100-gallon barrel where it's then filtered through oil absorption material to pull that out. And when you get done, it's clean water coming back out.
You're recycling the water?
Yes.
So it's not actually draining, it's just being recycled.
The only water that comes off is coming from a boat that has been washed. The property also, because I'm familiar with the drainage ditch, our property slants away from the ditch, and our well is about 30 feet from where we operate. So we'll be the first ones exposed to it, so we definitely take all care to make sure no contaminants leach into the ground.
All right, sir. Thank you. You may take a seat. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.